God, there are so many podcasts to listen to. I'm having like one of those Netflix indecision moments. What do you think I should listen to?
Oh, you definitely need to listen to nerdfunnel.com.
But where does he listen to that?
Nerdfunnel.com, or hit us up on any of our social media channels. I mean, hit it up on youtube.com/nerdfunnel. Honestly,
could I find you on facebook.com/nerdfunnel?
Any.com/nerdfunnel, you'll probably fucking find us. Or at nerdfunnel if you're like a Twitter or Instagram dude.
Okay.
And it's so much fun at fucking nerdfunnel.com. You will find articles and podcasts and all sorts of stuff that will funnel right into your more than willing ear holes. And honestly, your eye holes at this point.
Awesome. Because I got really tired of scrolling through all these podcasts.
Well, I'm not just going to go onto youtube.com/nerdfunnel and just have something funneled into my eye hole, am I?
What's wrong with getting something shoved into your eye hole? There's plenty of Japanese girls who are really into it.
You guys, I just went to nerdfunnel.com and I liked what was going in my eye hole. Oh, I think I'm going to check out what's going to go in my
so
ear hole.
So sexy. So sexy.
Weird, isn't it? Am
no.
I? Am I?
Well, let's go ahead and find out what's coming in my ear hole right now. Hey guys, you know that that Darth Vader is Luke's father?
Whoa, spoiler alert!
Yeah. Did you know that the human head weighs 8 pounds?
Spoilers!
Did you know that Snape kills Dumbledore?
Ah!
Did you know that if you listen to our cast, you might get something spoiled? Just a warning, wanted to give you a heads up. So, Steven, I know your head just exploded, I'm sorry.
Do you want spoilers? You will.
Welcome back. You're listening to Nerd Funnel, where we take all the nerd news of the world and funnel it into your more than willing ear holes. I'm Bob Choi, and with me tonight is Steven.
I wish you would step back from
that ledge, my friend. And Fong?
Jesse's on a vacation far away.
Oh my god, what a great poll.
Nice. And Ivan?
What will you do when they catch you? What will you do? And they break you.
That was almost Scarfacious.
Scarfacious?
Scarfacious. Oh, Scarfacious. Oh, that's the new word. That's the word of the night. Scarfacious. We are here tonight talking about, first of all, last week the Star Wars Rogue One trailer dropped like a fucking hot atom bomb.
Oh, Lord, don't even. Ooh.
It was so good. It was so good.
It was so very mediocre.
What?
Everybody drank.
Drawers.
Everybody drinks. Steven had an unpopular opinion. Okay, let's start with Steven. Why mediocre?
It looks like a space version of The Hunger Games. I just don't give a shit about
it. A space heist?
No, it doesn't even look like a fun heist. It's not like Ocean's 11-y or
anything.
No,
that's exactly what it looks like. Space Ocean's 11 with fucking walkers.
No. Like Ocean's 11, I will give you, it's too fun of an example, but this is like a serious heist.
I don't even see it as a serious heist. It just looks, it literally looks like Space Hunger Games to me. That's exactly what I thought of when I saw the trailer.
That's because I don't think the lead is incredibly strong.
Well, okay.
We don't know. Who is this chick anyway?
Felicity Jones?
Felicity
right?
Jones?
I want to understand, why do we have to have another female protagonist? At this point, is it just pandering that we have to have a female protagonist?
Well, why do we have to have another male protagonist?
I'm not saying that we do, but it's this character seems almost indistinguishable from Rey. Like, I cannot tell a difference from her. Because apparently, it looks like she's going to be a Force user, too. So,
no.
Yeah.
Or eventually, maybe.
I'm willing to bet she's. I
doubt it.
I will put dollars to donuts that she eventually comes out as a Force user.
All right.
You think
I'll
so?
Put up money for that. I don't think so.
Well, do you think they're even going to have any Force users in this one?
Maybe.
Old Vader.
Well,
Vader's gonna be.
You
in
think
it.
He's gonna drop in?
Do you think Donnie Yen?
If anybody should, it's Donnie Yen.
If anybody should, it should be fucking Donnie Yen.
I agree.
I don't know. The trailer just seemed boring to me. It
what?
Just didn't, it didn't. I. It was fine. I mean,
what about them Star Destroyers and that them lowering the fucking death antenna into the Death Star?
I don't give a shit. Like, yeah, it's just fine.
What about the AT-AT walkers that look like they were crossed with Knight Rider? Did you see that shit?
The Cylon
AT-ATs? Those things are fucking badass.
Nah. Like, I just wasn't into any of it. Like, it just seemed like such a grab for, hey, remember this shit? This might be cool, but, like, we're going to do it with, like, a millennial twist.
I feel like they skinned over something new with, like, they took the episode 4 skin and they're putting over something new and kind of interesting.
I think it's great. Yeah. And I think this is the very first time that I've ever taken the Empire as a formidable, military force.
Yeah.
But then it's bullshit, though, because you know that they end up losing.
Yeah, we already know that.
So you know that they're bullshit. They're not a formidable force. They got taken out by fucking Ewoks.
Then what's the point of, like, reading any extended universe that
nothing.
Tries
to... There is no point.
No, like, prequels, the same. Fucking, if you want to watch Clone Wars, it's just as, quote-unquote, like, useless. And I don't believe that. I believe that, you know, sure, the stakes aren't necessarily as high if you know what the outcome of the Civil War is, but at the same time, you still want to hear what these stories have to tell.
And it's not like they lose. I mean, they get the Death Star plans to R2, right? We know that they get the Death Star plans
and
out there.
During this, like, 15-year period before the Battle of Yavin, the Empire was stomping some shit.
Yeah, seriously. This is when they're in their pride. They're the prime.
It's boring. I don't know. This shit's going to be boring.
What about Mon Mothma? All her hotness when she's young. We had a young Mon Mothma ruling that.
She's not even that young in this one. But that was like note for note perfect.
How old is she in Jedi? In Return of the Jedi?
She's like near her 50s, if I remember.
Okay. So a lot of people were blowing the internet up about, like, oh, they didn't talk about the Bothans. The Bothans got the second Death Star plans.
Right, that's
right. This is about the story about how the first Death Star plans came to be obtained.
I'd like also to point out, this is pretty much going to end up as Dark Forces.
Seriously?
This is like the canon version of...
Kyle Katarn better show his fucking face up in this one.
I'm hoping that dude who's at the in the briefing room,
yeah,
like looking at, who she looks at and looks back at him is like Kyle
Katarn.
That is
him. That'd be cool.
That'd be amazing.
I'm kind of curious about why you guys think that the Empire is a formidable force when they lost plans to both of their biggest weapons. Once to Bothan spies and once apparently to the Hunger Games girl. Like, how are they a legitimate fighting force at that point? Like, you're just a bunch of fucking clowns.
Here's the thing. That's the problem with sheer volume as opposed to a small fighting force. And I believe that's why the rebels won out in the end.
So you blame bureaucracy for the Absolutely.
Too much red tape. They got tripped up in their own red tape.
That's the fucking most ridiculous thing I've ever fucking heard.
No, much like a tank versus a smaller tank. No, not a smaller tank, but a fucking dude who can go up and put on a shape charge on it. Speed and mobility always beats power and slow.
Okay. Maybe not always, but it can. It's possible.
I would venture to say 8 out of 10.
Wow. Okay.
If they're not retarded, but that's,
you know what it probably is though, is that I'm willing to bet that it was someone on the inside. I think it's always an inside job when you get those higher, those thick level
bureaucracies. Death Star was an inside job.
Yep. I think it's the inside job. I think someone,
I just feel like you have to be such an idiot if you lose the master plans to your like unbeatable weapon twice.
Dude, it's not like jet fuel can't melt Death Star beams.
It's not like, whoops, where the plans go. It's not like they lost it. It's like they were legit stolen. Like, there was infiltration.
But, okay, the first time I get it. Okay, it shit happens. Yeah. Fine. The second time? You know this shit's happened before.
And by
how do you let it happen a second fucking time?
Especially by dog people. Because that's what Bothans are.
So many Bothans died. I think, if I remember correctly, I don't think they stole the plans to it necessarily, but they stole... They found out the information that a second Death Star was being built in the location of it.
Okay, and then they just kind of flew over there. But still, that's like really...
But on top of that, the Emperor did say he purposely let that information be leaked.
Yeah, it was I that allowed the location of the Death Star to be into the...
I'm worried about that's him saving face. Oh, fuck, this shit got stolen. I better just fucking tell Luke so that way he doesn't think I'm a bitch. And got this shit stolen twice.
Maybe it's just an excuse to kill large numbers of Bothans. Because the Emperor is a racist asshole.
Listen, Michael Vick of the fucking Empire.
Do you think like someone was trying to fax the blueprints to the contractor and then it got intercepted and he was like, fuck, I better just say they were stolen.
Someone hacked the email.
Someone's just like, hey, who? Interesting facts, guys.
What's a Death Star?
I like the fact that they're using faxes. Right. They have spaceships and Death Stars.
Look how old that technology is.
With DeathStarPlans.jpg. What's this? Click.
It was. Hey, it did take place a long time ago.
In a galaxy far, far away.
So what is like printed out on like a print dot matrix printer?
A dot matrix with a little, yes. Yeah. So... Forrest Whitaker is playing a stormtrooper of some sort, a stormtrooper captain, or I don't know, was he a good guy or a bad guy? I'm not
he
quite sure.
Like, I think he's a good guy. I think he's like, I don't think he's...
Is he a training for force for the rebels?
No, I think he's... Wait, why would you say he's a...
Like
a stormtrooper.
I thought I saw him juxtaposed next to the stormtrooper armor. Or is that, did I see that wrong in the trailer?
I thought he was a Jedi master who's going to train this girl to be a Jedi.
No, I don't think it
wouldn't surprise me if he's actually Mace Windu, because Mace Windu got all fucked up and electrified, and now he's got a lazy eye, like Forrest Whitaker's got a lazy eye.
Except Mace, but I don't think so.
Why not? You didn't see his other arm.
That's true. But
which hand will you get cut off?
I think that it's going to be an interesting story. The way in which it was set that we don't know at the end whether this... What's the main girl's name?
What?
Wait, what?
The main girl's name.
Who cares what her name is?
I don't even...
Space Katniss, I just said.
Space Katniss.
I don't mind that she's like a female protagonist. I don't think she was the right pick.
She's in a TIE fighter pilot outfit at the end, or some sort of like elite black.
With stovepipes at the back.
Yeah, it was interesting. Or like Tonfas or some shit.
Because like she says that one line that just totally, everything else was good.
Yeah.
Including like the Saving Private Ryan with AT-ATs.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. On the beach.
But like, she's all like, I rebel. I was like,
yeah.
Shut up.
Someone's got to break her little pretentious ass. I hope Forrest Whitaker like breaks her down in training and makes her like not so
pretentious. Donnie Yen beats her up.
Yeah, Donnie Yen's got some work to do.
Are we at least in agreement that Donnie Yen in Star Wars
is a good
kind
idea.
Of great?
I agree. It's
fuck
a good
you.
Idea.
Nah, really? Fuck you.
Okay, what Asian actor would you like?
I would have to Google Donnie Yen.
What?
Yip Man.
What?
What would you?
She thinks you just barked at her.
So I wanted to ask Steven who he would have liked to see, like if there was an Asian actor he could put into Star Wars, who would it be? Besides
Edison Chen,
Lloyd from Entourage.
Who the fuck is that?
Who's that?
Jimmy Wong?
Ari's like man secretary from Entourage. He generally plays like kind of gay characters.
Okay.
I would be interested to see that guy play somebody in the Star Wars universe as like not even a main character, just like, you know, the dude who like is at a convenience store, like runs the convenience store that they go and pick up a pack of space cigarettes from.
Awesome.
How do they smoke it in space?
With magic.
Yeah, I mean,
force. The force.
The force. They use the force.
Like semi related to this.
Okay.
Like, over the weekend, I watched this trilogy of Steven Seagal movies.
Why?
Out for Death?
No.
Oh.
No. The fucking is like Force of Execution trilogy. It was
Force
like...
Force of Execution. I never heard of that trilogy.
There are a few movies that I've watched that like are so bad that they make me mad. Because I usually like bad movies.
Yeah.
Because they're so bad that they're fun.
Uh-huh. Right.
But this was so bad that it made me mad.
Ugh.
And it's basically Steven Seagal being like a total badass, quote unquote, and like for whatever reason he ends up with the girl at the end, even though whenever they like this is always the very last scene of the movie, he ends up with the girl and then he like looks so unhappy about it, but he goes along with it anyways. But there were in the
That's
second
because he really just wants to be end up with the guy.
Third one, sorry.
Okay.
And there's always a buddy. Yeah, that's totally true.
Yeah, he's like, I'll be with this chick because I have to, but I would really like to be with the man. I want the man balls on my ass.
Are you doing JCVD?
I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, I was like, are you Jean-Claude Van Damme?
He's like,
no, Steven Scott's more like a whisper, like a little small, like
I don't
whisper.
Understand.
Yeah,
who are you?
I just want balls on my
ass.
Is this 80s?
No, this is like. Literally 2013, 14, and 15.
Wow. He's still making movies?
It is so shitty. Look up Force of Execution.
Isn't he a cop?
A good
now?
Man. And no, he's not a fucking cop. It was like ceremonial.
Oh, yeah.
It was just for that TV show.
Oh, was it just for the TV
yeah,
show?
Yeah, Steven Seagal Law or some shit.
Lawman.
Lawman.
Yes.
Lawman.
Yes.
Okay.
Lawman.
It was a great show.
It's a good show.
Possibly
a good show.
The height of reality TV.
Steven has an unpopular opinion.
Definitely.
Steven has the right opinion. I'm always right. Like, that's the thing about this segment, is that I may have an unpopular opinion. It's the right opinion. That's the key.
And here in America, you're allowed to think that.
Let us know if you think Steven's right or not on social medias, by the way. We enjoy reading you go toe-to-toe with Steven. Because he's always willing to throw down.
He is. That's why we keep him around.
Yeah, because he throws down.
Steven Lawman is the best reality TV
Hashtag
show.
Lawman Steven Seagal, best TV ever.
Hashtag tasty. We gotta get Jorge back on the cast soon so he can be throwing out some hashtag tasties.
So the third one is...
Steven Seagal.
Steven Seagal. I can't remember the name of this movie. It was so bad. I fell asleep three times during every movie.
Wow.
Steven Seagal.
Yeah.
Because it was so good.
It was so bad. And one of the best lines in movie history I've ever heard is Steven, they complete a job and they're supposed to lay low. And Steven Seagal says to this Asian actor whom was out of the entire series, shining star. I think his name is Byron Mann.
Okay.
And I know that guy.
Yeah.
He's good.
He's good.
He's actually a legit good actor.
Steven's going to watch this trilogy and be like, best movies ever.
It's going to happen. It's totally going to happen.
No, that is... I'm willing to bet that I will actually watch this and legitimately enjoy it.
No, seriously, we need to do a react watch or whatever. We're watching this trilogy of films. It is so incredibly bad.
Is it on Netflix?
Yes, it is. It is so bad.
Wait, why did you watch this if were so irritated by
partly because my brother sat down one night and we're like,
okay,
let's watch something. And he's like, hey, this looks pretty bad. I was like, well, let's not watch it. He's like, click.
And
then,
fuck you.
And then we got done and was like, that was a fucking slog. Hey, let's watch the next one. And that happened three times. I couldn't fucking believe
it. That's an abusive relationship.
Seriously.
It was fucking Stockholm syndrome.
It beats you over the head, but you keep going back for more.
It's the Metal Gear Solid of fucking movies.
Take a drink.
You know, we need to do a cast where we go back and we revisit all of Steven's popular opinions and we kind of tally which ones that were right and which ones are wrong.
They're all fucking right.
Okay, well, I'm gonna go back this weekend. I was sick as a motherfucking dog, and
right.
I had one of Steven's opinions pop into my head about Suikoden 2, the RPG game, Suikoden 2, and I'm like, you know what? I haven't played that in a long ass time. I'm gonna go back and play that. And
how fucking great was it?
And is it as good as Steven says? And you know what? It's fucking as good as Steven remembers it for me. Like that first opening hour, like I was sick all weekend, and so like I slept for a lot of it. I watched some TV, but then I'm like, I'm gonna play some games. So I played Persona 4, I played Suikoden 2, and I played a little bit of this new one called I'm Alive, which kind of sucks, which makes me feel dead inside actually. But out of everything, everything I played, I'm like, you know what? Steven was right. So you know what, Steven? Hats off to you. Steven's opinion is popular and good and right.
So we should have a segment called Steven Has an Unpopular Opinion: Revisited.
Yeah.
Yes.
Dossier.
Yeah.
A retrospective.
And then in the background, the song playing is "I Will
Remember You." But no crying dogs or dead dogs and Sarah God.
Or when I'm wrong, when I express a wrong opinion, it'll be "I'm a
bitch, I'm a lover."
That's so
But I thought that, but that'll never happen. Apparently,
it doesn't. I mean, it won't. It won't. I mean, it. I'm willing to accept the fact that there's a possibility that I'll be wrong. I'll probably know I'm wrong. I'm willing to admit that, like, I might be wrong. I'll probably know I'm wrong, though. So, in essence, I'm kind of right then.
You were right about being wrong.
Yeah.
So those cancel out. Do the commutative property of right and wrongness, then they cancel out, and then you're right.
So you push.
Yeah, exactly. Like, at worst, I break even.
Speaking,
Byron Mann is in this terrible movie with Steven Seagal. And he carries this entire movie. He is literally
the movie or the franchise.
He carries. Well, he was so good in that last movie that I would argue he carries the franchise.
That's hard to do because Steven Seagal is a fat ass.
Yeah, no, yeah, because he's literally the legs. He's the one who just moves the most in that whole movie. God. Anyways, but getting back to like Star Wars, I think this cat should blow up. He's like 50 years old now. He's still good looking.
Yeah.
He can act. He can act and he can fight. I like.
He was in a Chow Yun Fat movie.
We need to blow this dude up. What?
The
really?
Corruptor with Dan.
No shit. He's you're right.
No.
You're right.
We need to blow him and then blow him.
Hashtag Byron Man.
Hashtag blow Byron Man.
Yeah. Hashtag blow Byron Man.
Really?
Blow him up.
That's the hashtag we're going with.
The next hashtag is up.
Blow Byron Man. Nice.
Up.
Hashtag is up.
Hashtag blow Byron Man. Hashtag up.
Yeah.
But he would be a cool addition to the Star Wars universe.
I can't wait to see when he comes out.
In Star Wars. I honestly hope. I mean, if he ever does.
It'd be nice. A man can
dream.
You're
welcome. Yeah. You're welcome.
Speaking of right and wrong, I want to talk a little bit tonight about morality in gaming. We were playing Life is Strange tonight for the channel and talking about...
Check it out at youtube.com/nerdfunnel.
Yeah, plug it. Hashtag plug it.
Fill your eye holes.
Fill those eye holes up.
Hashtag plug it. Hashtag blow Byron Man.
Hashtag up.
And so we got to thinking about like how the landscape of gaming has changed over the past years with the large onslaught of morality-based games, your Telltales... of Wolf Among Us, Walking Dead, Game of Thrones, this licensing of morality plays basically for gaming. Life is Strange, being able to make choices, rescind them, redo them, kind of pick your own morality. And then talk about how that gaming might be improved, like if Telltale is going to burn out on this kind of thing or they can find ways to make it better. And just calling into question our natures of morality in general, like, you know, well... Is the game directing you to make what it considers right and wrong choices, or are you rewarded equally for whatever morality you choose to have? I'm thinking that one of the better morality stories that we got going on in gaming right now that I have played recently, and this one is Life is Strange. We did play that tonight. It's a really good one where you get to make choices about how to treat people. Those come back to haunt you, and actually tells you in the corner, as most of these games do, that you know these decisions will have consequences. But the catch with Life is Strange is you can kind of choose the morality and kind of pick and choose how you want to go about it. So, what do you guys think?
Morality. Go ahead, Ivan.
Well, I think I don't think it'll ever burn out because, like, there's people always want to find out who they are. Essentially, and I think games has always been like an interactive way to figure out who you are as a person and what you would do in certain situations. That's why Grand Theft Auto was so popular. I would argue that would be Grand Theft Auto, even from the first one, is when bad started to be good, to be fun, kind of thing, in at least for gaming.
Rewarded in game, as far as like making the quote unquote wrong choices.
You can't be an all out fucking asshole in your real life unless you are. Then you're just a fucking asshole.
Or Donald Trump.
Yeah. So I feel like morality games, things of that nature, like. We just need to have them so that we have an outlet. And I think it kind of evolved from, like, you know, games where you had to make decisions and those decisions, like, impacted what the mission was going to be later. And then came the component of, oh, what if we added a morality aspect to this?
Okay. That's one I hadn't thought of. Grand Theft Auto is a morality play, because a lot of times in those games you're doing horrific shit for like the quote unquote right reason, like
for
save
money.
Your brother or for
at
the end of the day, for that game it's money.
Yeah.
Sometimes
money and power
and honor.
Honor? Which one?
Power and the money. Money and the power. Minute after minute. Hour after hour.
I don't listen to hip hop.
I never really thought of it that way, but I mean, I guess if you're looking at it from that genre, there's a game called Sleeping Dogs, which is kind of similar to Grand Theft Auto in nature.
More like anti-hero, because you're still moving towards. They kind of predestine your morality to.
Is that the one where you have to like hack shit? Like you're listening on the phone. You have like this incredible phone.
Yep, that's the one.
No. You're talking about Watch Dogs.
No. Yeah, you're right. Sleeping Dogs, the one where it takes place in Hong Kong, and you're this undercover cop.
Yeah, it's a kung fu movie.
Okay.
Yeah,
but it's awesome because it's basically Grand Theft Auto through like a kung fu filter.
Oh, that's really cool.
But there is. Like, the story in that game is actually legitimately good. Like, there's a legitimately good story element, which you don't tend to find, that kind of gives purpose to your actions, which I really liked.
And I totally agree that that is a good example of, like, of the morality play, because it's a common theme in, like, Hong Kong undercover cop stories, which I think...
We all are experts in a little bit.
We all like.
Or would like to be. I'd like to be an expert. I'm not. But.
Ooh, girl. We have to talk about
we have some movies to watch.
Infernal Affairs.
Affairs?
The Chinese version. The original version of The Departed.
Okay. It sounds like a porno movie.
Infernal Affairs.
Infernal Affairs.
The Departed?
Internal Affairs.
Infernal Affairs. Infernal Affairs.
That's not dirty, guys.
That's not dirty.
That's what it's called.
But like setting up the morality as far as like, so in
like the main character always has to find out like does he fit in more with the criminals or does he fit more with cops? Like what are his values at the end of the day?
And then setting the morality compass. So like what is considered moral within the game may not be moral in real life, but you're rewarded for pursuing nefarious ends for the right reasons. Did you ever play True Crime Streets of L.A.?
The original one or the second one with Snoop Dogg?
I played both. Do you play either of them?
I played both of them. They're fucking terrible. So fucking... The first one was weird because... Like, the first one was actually kind of cool because it's like a Hong Kong action movie.
But in L.A.
Right, but in L.A. It got weird when you start fighting demons. Like, you're dual-wielding pistols but fighting, like, sewer demons. It's fucking strange.
Is that the one that was... one of the first games out on Xbox 360?
I think it was first generation Xbox, actually.
Yeah, it was.
I had mine on PlayStation
Xbox.
2, I think.
Yeah, PS2 and Xbox.
Yeah.
And the star of that game, the person that they based it on, was the bad guy from Romeo Must Die, the Jet Li movie with Aaliyah.
Whoa.
Who wears
sunglasses. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's also the star of a little-known miniseries / TV show from the 90s called Vanishing Sun about an Asian guy who comes to America and ends up fucking white women, which is pretty awesome. And he also knows kung fu.
That sounds moral. That sounds upstanding.
It was pretty awesome.
Sounds like my life.
I want to say his name is like Russell Wong.
But the games reward you for being violent and doing bad stuff. But now as the games are evolving, you're kind of equally... Do you guys ever play Infamous or Infamous 2?
Yes.
So
fucking amazing.
So those games reward you pretty evenly as far as like powers and stuff for whatever you decided to do. It just changed the nature of what you got.
I mean, the ending's wildly different, though.
Well, in Infamous 2 more so than Infamous the first.
Yeah.
But I loved the Infamous game. Right up until the newest one, Last Son, I was not a big fan of.
I heard that was bad. I didn't play that one. I just played 1 and 2.
The mechanics of it are great, but the storyline is not awesome because I hated the main...
Did it have anything to do with the way they set up the dichotomy of the morality, how they set that system up? Because in the first two, it was really good.
I don't think it was that. It's just that the main character's unlikable. Like, he's just like this whiny fucking emo, like, moron who... I couldn't stand. Like, I wanted to... I ended up playing him as a complete bad guy. because yeah. it felt like that's the way they wanted the character to go. Like, whereas, like, in the first two Infamous games, it feels like Cole naturally should kind of be a good guy. Like, it kind of flows that way. This just felt like, oh, you're like a brat, so you should just be like a bratty kid who... Because even by the end, if you play him Paragon the whole way through, which I did, he doesn't ever, like, become a better man because of it or anything. He's still just a whiny fucking punk.
So that's my question is, like, so we're rewarded power-wise for making these choices, but the actual developments of the character change as a result of these choices?
Then if that's the if that's your question that you're posing, I submit to you... Star Wars, Knights of the Old Republic.
Okay, yeah, good call, good call.
What's your read on that?
I always played, I mean, you know me, I always played Goody Two Shoes.
Well, I do too. I'll save, and like if the decision goes dark side, I'll like reload and like do that again.
Fucking save scum.
Save scumming it. Save scumming for the goodness.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, right? High five.
I save scummed when I blew up Megaton.
I've never heard that term before, actually.
What, save scumming?
Yeah.
When you save at every possible interval so that if you make a mistake, you can go back right away and change it.
Yeah, I'm that guy.
I always like to Iron Man run my games. Oh, yeah? I like to just, like, you just make a decision and you just deal with
just
it.
Just go with
like,
it.
I really like that.
You like that permanence, like in XCOM. Yes. Like, you like permadeath and you like the consequence to play
I like it if it hurts me a little bit. Like, everything. Like, if it hurts me a little bit, like, if... I love it.
Yeah, going in here.
Bring the pain.
Byron Man!
We're going to have a discussion about your nipples later.
Oh, yeah.
Whee!
Up. Hashtag up.
Hashtag up. and save scumming, I mean, that's a relatively new thing. I mean, before you know, 10 years ago, you couldn't save scum. You had to save at save points, right? So
right,
that was
right.
a new thing.
Well, also,
so
it didn't matter.
Everything was linear.
Right. There was no choice. There was no deviation. The only time you would save scum is just because you were fighting a boss.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was the only reason to save scum.
And they anticipated that, so that's why they put like boss fountains and then a save point before the bosses.
Boss fountains.
And then give you like a bunch of bullshit.
Give you a bunch of crap.
Which also like felt weird because like if you were the boss and you had a castle that these people were gonna invade, would you put a place where they could camp out and like kind of hunker
and
down?
And then be like, right, this is lair? My poorly locked armory.
Right.
This is where I keep all my grenade rounds and my health sprays.
And by the way, here's the big doors to where I'm going to be hanging out for the next 16 hours. So, like, take a rest, regenerate, come in when you feel like it.
So as we,
that's called overconfidence.
Yeah, seriously, that's the hubris, that downfall, that evil.
That's why they fucking lose.
The bad guy hubris. So a lot of games now are letting us play a little bit faster and looser with the morality of games.
What you talking about, fast and loose?
Fast and loose. So now we have more choices where, like, as evidenced in Life is Strange, we get to kind of rescind and kind of redo and kind of formulate the ends.
It's like the ultimate save scum game.
Yeah, it's a save scum game.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But I don't think that's, like, going to be the norm.
But that's a game mechanic. So, I mean, it's not save scum because it's just, you can do this. It's encouraged. Like, it's part of the story. You can play through it any which way. It's part
because
of
how many of us could wish we could go travel back in time, even when we're in our, like, adolescence?
Yeah. And that's the cool thing about more recent games is taking the morality, the choices you make, and changing the gameplay based on what you do. So, like, in Infamous, you get different powers. Life is Strange, you get to change the outcomes. And I was talking to Fong on the way over earlier. I was thinking about even changing how the game functions as a mode of reward or punishment or just change for your moral choice. So changing the art style if you make certain choices, gradually changing the art style.
Like character skin changes because
that would be cool.
That or like, yeah, just how the landscape looks. And of course, you've got one of the more recent ones is Undertale, like the huge sensation Undertale, where you can choose to, have you guys played this one?
I have not yet.
It's very Earthboundy.
We talked about it on a podcast at some point.
It's like Earthbound, the old Nintendo game.
I drink a lot.
Wow.
So it's like a SNES era RPG style where you play a little girl who goes into this monster world and has to either befriend or kill lots of monsters in order to save souls and escape the monster underworld.
I'm about to buy this game once it goes on sale. The moment it drops in price just a little bit, I'll pick it up.
What is it? What's it priced at right now?
$10. I want it cheaper than that. I want to get a deal.
Wow.
I love how Chinese we are.
He loves a deal.
I love a fucking deal.
As you talk next to your $400 office chair.
I know, right?
Hey, but it was a $1,000 office chair originally at one point. So,
and that to me, ladies and gentlemen, is just smart.
That's smart. But so you can choose, and there's a whole bunch of LPs and runs on this where people, the game, the way the game plays out, the endings, the way the game interacts with you, like on a like a fourth wall breaking level, changes depending on your actions to either kill. Or to kill or to mercy or talk to enemies. You can go through the whole game without killing or attacking a single person, and it has a certain outcome and certain effects on the way people treat you.
How do you befriend?
You can do genocide mode where you kill everything and everybody automatically, and it changes how the game treats you and what you become. It actually changes the story and your role in it.
It's fucking brilliant.
It's
we
super
need
interactive.
More of that in
so
like FPS
I think we,
third person shit like that.
We should do. I know exactly. I think that mechanic should play out a little more, in both visually and in how the story functions. Because if you play a lot of these games, like you play like the Telltale games, like Wolf Among Us, or Walking Dead. If you play them enough, you can start to see the seams. You can see where the branches come out from, like
Where there is no real decision.
Yeah, when the illusion of like actually having choice breaks down, and in a lot of the Telltale games, it's deceptively easy to pick apart. But in Undertale, it's hidden and it's more seamless and it's nuanced and interesting. Mm-hmm. So
but there's also the argument that like if it works, why mess with it?
Oh, Telltale's argument, like if it
For Telltale,
yeah,
well, like it worked really good in Back to the Future.
Now they just license the IP, and then they'll just plug their morality algorithm over it and skin it.
It's
and
the Netflix effect.
Yeah, exactly.
They know what's already going to work, so they just like put a new skin on it.
I'm very accurately described. But see that? I mean, to me, that gets. I mean, then it's just different skins. Then Wolf Among Us and Telltale and Walking Dead or Wolf Among Us and. Walking Dead and Game of Thrones, all these games they're licensing and releasing, it just starts to all feel like the same game.
But to continue to be a devil's advocate, or rather, a humanist.
A humanist.
Like, maybe you being a literature major, you have to admit that, you know, that just goes, every story is a reskin.
That's true.
Going back to, you know, the archetypes.
This is true, but, I mean... A lot of the choices become the same. Like if you play Wolf Among Us and Walking Dead, they came out one after the other, pretty much, and pretty much you could kind of tell where the choices were going to go straight away, what kind of character you're going to end up as, what the consequences are going to be. Some of them you didn't.
Although
see
fucking Wolf Among Us was great.
It was a good story. I mean, like the skin itself was actually really good. I liked that whole the fairy tale land over the real world. Did you play Wolf Among Us, Fong?
I did not. No.
So it's basically like modern day New York crime noir story, but with skinned with fairy tales, so that everybody's kind of they're called glamours. Like so, the big bad wolf and Cinderella and the mermaid. They all live in modern day noir New York,
New York.
But they have magic to kind of hide their identities, and then there's like this big conspiracy among all the fairy tales and a murder mystery over Snow White, and all these fairy tales started getting killed, and which fairy tale character is behind
it. Sounds like that fairy tale comic book series.
No, it's based on Fables.
Is it based on Fables?
Yeah. Big B and like all the characters.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Big Bad Wolf and all those guys.
Fables is an amazing comic book. Everybody should read this.
Because Telltale doesn't actually create any original content. They just license other people's shit and then skin over it very well. I mean, the art and stuff like that is good. And that's why I like Undertale so much, is that it's more nuanced, less obvious seams when it comes to how things play out. And the gameplay is awesome, too. The gameplay mechanic, how you fight, the choices you have. You can opt to talk and mercy people instead of fight. And you don't have to fight. It may seem like you have to, but there's always a way out. And so you can do a genocide run. You can kill everything. You can do a mercy run. You can save everything. You can do somewhere in between. And the game changes in very subtle ways. And so, yeah, like putting that onto a first-person shooter... character action three
it would work even in MMO.
Yeah.
Like that would be really interesting. You like every person who's online sees the world differently.
Yeah.
It would be a literal manifestation of like how people wear rose or dark colored glasses.
It would definitely be that way. I mean, it'd be hard as hell to like network it all together, but I'm sure it could be done.
Yeah.
He would also be fucking boring because all MMOs are bullshit.
Fair play. Yeah. Fair play to you.
If you play an MMO, go fuck yourself.
Wow.
Hashtag Steven has an unpopular opinion. I'm sure a lot of people are drinking right now. I'm drinking inside.
I know I am.
FF14 was pretty good. Oh, FF15 got a release date, September 30th.
Yeah.
You,
Bobby, you're super excited.
New trailer dropped for that, too. Looks fucking amazing.
The Stand By Me Final Fantasy game?
Fucking K-pop, Korean boy band.
Korean boy band road trip.
Yep, that's pretty much it. But I'm
the Korean boy band version of Hangover.
Yeah, seriously. But that's all they're showing right now. I'm sure there'll be more to it. I mean, they've had 8 years to develop this thing.
That's
so
new. That's a thing, right? Hangover? Yeah. I don't know what the kids talk about nowadays.
All right, Gramps.
Oh, Gramps.
They're Dan Fogelberg.
Hangover 3 was like 4 years ago, man. I don't know. Is that true? I don't know.
In 2013? Oh, shit. 2013 was 3 years ago.
Yeah. Fuck. Yeah, right? Old. Hashtag getting older.
Fuck it.
Heart attack.
Hashtag this is 30-something.
Yeah, right?
Are you
seriously?
Sure it was 3 years ago? It might have been more.
That's Steven's awesome hashtag now. This is 30-something. You were going to the DMX content, and I saw that hashtag pop up on your thing.
I have two hashtags that I use, and generally it's hashtag this is 30-something when I do something that is kind of fucking old man, or hashtag the whiskey monologues when I am drunk and I post something on Facebook and I just rant about something.
Not hashtag tasty?
That's Jorge's.
That's Jorge's. I can't bite Jorge's.
Yeah.
You can bite Jorge's. No, and I can tell you how.
Remember? Because Jorge's trying to make money on that hashtag. So
how does he make?
I don't know.
He doesn't
make any money on the hashtag.
There's not a way to monetize a hashtag.
You know, someone told me that my picture is in the dictionary next to the word gullible. I don't know what that's all about.
I don't get it.
Are you monetizing that? I mean, if it's in every dictionary.
You need to get royalties,
right?
For that shit.
And technically, if that were actually true, you could monetize that because you could use your photo rights.
Oh, I'm going to call Oxford, guys.
Oh, man.
Is this Oxford, England?
Fong, what about you? Do you have a favorite morally based game that you like to play? That gives you, makes you wonder about who you are?
Well, I mean, I always try to like play a game and be like, can I be the worst fucking monster ever and just see what happens?
You monster.
I tried to do that with BioShock and I just couldn't.
Aww.
I got like 15 minutes through it and I was like,
I can't kill these little girls.
No, it was, what was it? It was the guy whose wife dies and he doesn't get an explanation why the military is holding her body.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided, like, you know, I'm going to play hard ass. I made my character look like Maria Hill. And then I went to talk to him and it was just like, I just want to know, like, what's going on with my wife? Why can't I get her body?
Where's my wife? Where's my wife? Where's my family?
And then, you know, I picked the worst possible answer, which was just like, you know, what the fuck does it matter? Your wife's dead, basically.
Yeah.
And then you were just like, oh, but
and you felt guilty after that, right?
Yeah. No. And this is what was worse.
You had real life guilt.
The guy was like, oh, yeah, I guess you're right. I'm sorry. Like, no, I'm being an asshole to you. Don't fucking
fight back.
And that's what that's what makes it a great game is you had real life guilt for in-game action. That's
decisions.
Awesome. Yeah, right? You're making life harder on yourself real time because of what you're telling your characters to do.
Yeah, I just...
That's why you have to be Harrison Ford in every game.
Oh, God, yeah.
Singly minded.
That's why Harrison Ford needs to be doing voiceovers for games so we can pretend to be him more easily.
Who would Harrison Ford play in a game?
Fucking...
Old Nathan Drake. If they do Uncharted
6. Yeah, he would be a great old Nathan Drake.
God damn it. Here's the thing.
What?
Quick aside.
All right.
You being as big of a, damn it, what is his name?
What's the word?
Firefly?
Yeah.
Nathan Fillion?
Nathan Drake.
He is real life Nathan Drake. Like, he could play him in Uncharted real life.
Yeah,
like,
I mean...
Do you think we're ever going to get that movie?
Perfect casting
failure.
Probably not. And the reason, honestly, is he said so himself, is his fans. He says the fans keep, like, whoever has the property or the rights to the Uncharted series to make a film keeps like fucking inundating the goddamn studio with letters saying fucking cast Nathan Fillion. And he's afraid that's going to, like, you know, scare off investors and things like that.
It
that
worked for Ryan Reynolds.
For did Deadpool,
it?
Yeah.
It did.
That's how he got the movie.
I thought he just the got the movie were... because it was...
No, it was like sheer force of will of him demanding a legit Deadpool movie.
They then, willed it into being.
Then they leaked, quote unquote, the text footage. And then people were like, motherfucker, we need this shit now.
I remember that because I thought it was a joke. That was like a hoax, that first leak. And then that was actual footage from the movie.
Yeah, it was.
That whole freeway scene.
That was cool.
So yeah,
Do you think that's possible? Do you think we could do... grassroots Nathan Fillion?
I mean, maybe, but I know, like...
But he, you know what I think? He has to, like, embrace it. I don't think Nathan Fillion has embraced Nathan Drake yet.
Yeah, he's fucking embraced it. He said
what,
that
like
he was...
Ryan Reynolds has?
He has straight up said that I would love to play Nathan Drake. Therefore, please stop inundating the studio with letters saying I need to play Nathan Drake because I'm afraid it'll turn the studio off to casting me.
Hashtag Philly and Drake.
Hashtag Veronica Mars. Hashtag Deadpool. Because the fans are driving that shit now, and I think we could.
Well, I think Deadpool's. I mean, the highest grossing rated R movie of all time.
Of all time,
is it really
time now?
That's awesome.
Yeah,
more than Heat.
Domestic over $200 million.
Brother, you are going down.
Yeah,
that really bothers me.
What?
The movie was fine. It shouldn't have been pushed as hard as it was, and that bothers me.
I think they had to do that just to get it made.
Highest grossing bothers me. Like, to have it make more money than The Godfather, for example, kind of like digs a little.
Maybe a little bit, yeah. But
is that adjusted for inflation, by the way?
I don't know. I'll have to check that out. Probably not.
Okay.
Probably not quite.
Just raw dollars. My guess would be raw dollars.
Raw dollars.
I thought you said raw dog. And,
yeah. That's what I thought.
they just raw dog the numbers. They did what?
So
did what?
Raw doggers.
So if for Morality Gaming, what would be the major innovation that you guys would like to see in the next few years as far as like
smell-o-vision?
No, I mean, not for gaming in general. I'm talking about, like, in morality-based gaming. How would you like
to I know! You can smell the consequences.
You can smell the guilt.
Smell the consequences. Smell the guilt. Smell
like your decisions.
When you accidentally do something to kill somebody, you smell their charred corpse.
Okay. As opposed to if you decide to give them flowers instead and you
smell the flowers.
Smell the flowers.
You fuck up, you shit yourself, you smell that.
Yeah. That'll, like... Doing bad shit will make people, if like you can give
defecate.
Them a, sorry, excuse me, if you can give them a real concrete experience of it, mm-hmm. I think it would turn them off. Most people, not Steven, but most people.
I'd like to see games mess with the fourth wall based on your choices, like messing up, like so say the world establishes a moral compass, whatever that may be, if you go against the moral compass... It doesn't give you as many save options. Like
or
it gets
harder.
It gets harder. It doesn't auto save.
Or
it fucks
easier.
With your saves. It's like I don't know if you guys ever played Eternal Darkness, Sanity's Requiem for GameCube, but that game started. Like, it would mess with your volume settings.
Oh right,
it would reset itself.
Yeah,
like it would just start fucking with you.
Honestly, I think you've hit the nail on the head because like that is where it needs to go.
More
in order
fourth
for,
wall
for
interaction.
Yeah,
yeah,
well, like,
that would be really
more,
cool.
More like. Consequences
yeah.
in general.
I've actually thought about this. How cool would it be if when you played a survival horror game and it like there were creepy moments in it, you at the beginning of the game you had to input your phone number and then it would like text you when you got to certain parts of the game.
That would be brilliant.
That's fucking awesome. Steven?
It's a pretty fucking cool idea and I thought that it would be super creepy that like if you're like about to round a corner and then all of a sudden you get a text that's like yeah.
Or like you, what you could do the game, if you're playing it on like a network, it already
photo.
has your email.
Yeah.
Right? It has like you log into PSN, it has your email, it can start emailing you shit.
I don't remember what it
to
was.
Fuck with
Windows 10.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a horror game, but there was a game like and it was kind of old actually, that would email you.
Or like
the Secret World, the MMO.
I don't remember.
Or like,
I don't think it was an MMO.
Or like the games like Life is Strange where like the character gets text messages. What if it sent you text messages? Like
right,
from characters in the game.
Cool.
That'd be pretty awesome.
And like every now and then you get like a scary picture or something. That would be fucking cool.
Although in Life is Strange, you'd probably get like dick pics or like fucking.
I was gonna say dick pics. That's probably like
is Warren
more
the picture.
No. Warren's the dude who's all like, "Hey, answer me. Hey, are you there?
Are you there?
Hey,
listen. That abbreviates his
fucking
Max's
Navi.
Name.
Fucking Navi.
It's the Navi of Life Strange who abbreviates the name Max to MX.
Mix.
I thought you were talking about the guy who's like, I'd like to draw your picture.
you look so pretty. That was Danielle. He's my essay.
I get him.
Danielle's my essay.
But apparently
let me draw you, man.
Come on, man. Let me draw you. you're not as good as my other homie, but I'll draw you for second place, eh? Oh, man.
You should feel so honored.
Poor Max. Max got the shit end of the stick. So let us know what you think. What do you want to see in morality-based gaming? What kind of new interactive actions do you want to see? What kind of morals do you want to have in place? Do you want to break? We're curious to know. Hit us up on the social medias, on the Nerd Funnels, and we will engage with you.
And you can pick your own response.
Pick your own response, and then we'll tell you if it's moral or not.
And find us on Steam. I, Steven, am on Steam at TiltMonster.
I am Baob Shui, of course.
I think I'm Dr. Orpheus. I'm pretty sure
what
that's...
What do you think?
I don't play as much.
Steven still needs people to play with. He's lonely.
I always need people to play with.
Don't leave him hanging, guys.
I
usually just play with myself.
And Fawn?
Wow. I am Iron Brown Coat.
Iron Brown Coat.
I would have liked it better if it was just Iron Brown. Like, you got an Iron Brown.
Iron Brown.
What would that be?
What?
That would be like the steeliest shit. Like, it's like brown. It's the really, really,
taking
really...
a really hard dump?
Really hard dump. The hard and dry stuff that comes out like sandpaper.
Oh, no. See, I thought of it as more of like a descriptive feature of like how the prowess of her anus would be.
Whoa.
Like,
wait, what?
Whoa.
Iron-like. Like, actually, determined and like hard. Like iron.
I was thinking more along an iron brown.
Like unbreakable, you know?
I was thinking more along
an unbreakable butt.
I was thinking more along the lines of like a bruise, like you're an iron brown, like a really hard bruise you get from fighting.
Oh, now who needs to turn off their phone or put it on silent?
I know, my bad.
And on that note, we'll see you next time. And until then, you've been nerd funneled.
Facebook.com/nerdfunnel.